Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
And you're very welcome along to Tuesday's Off the Ball. For the next half an hour, it'll be Richie, myself and Kevin Kilbane. But on the way from 7:30, we have a very special live broadcast from the Ballsbridge Hotel. Joe is going to be joined by the legendary Micheál Amirahert, Kieran Donaghy, Dermot Early, Billy Keane, Eileen Lawler, Lindsay Davey, Killian Burns. And that's all part of the Comórtas Pella Paddy O'Shea launch, which takes place tonight. It's the 30th renewal of that. We have the football show from 9 o'clock. It's been a pretty manic day, actually, in football. Martin O'Neill, anyone? We're going to discuss his return to Nottingham Forest 25 years after he was initially linked with the job. A lot has happened since then, and we have Daniel's story on about that. And we're going to also talk the impact of Brexit. We're all kind of presuming that the vote is going to go pee-tong tonight in London, and Brexit is going to continue to be in the headlines for the near future. But what does this mean for football? So Rob Harris is going to be on to talk about that. Kevin Kilbane is in. You've just half-finished a bag of hunky-dories.
Yeah, getting through it. I've actually just seen about Petr Cech just retiring as well. The first time I've seen that. It must be something that's come about today as well.
Such is the nature of today. That kind of got buried a little bit. I don't think it should.
I'm definitely out the loop, yeah.
The first thing that came to my mind, with all due respect to Stephen Hunt, was he the same player after that unfortunate head injury where he sustained a fractured skull?
There is a definite period where it was noticeable that you could question it. You could definitely question it. I think it was the year 2008 for sure. There were a couple of howlers in that, just generally in around that 08-09 period. There was a couple of periods where we were thinking that maybe it was a bit wobbly, but from to recover from that and from to play, like, he's been playing at the top level for the last 15 years.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. There aren't many real howlers across his career. That's the thing. And keepers are going to make howlers, and you know, we've probably seen two of the finest in the moment, or three in the finest in the Premier League at the moment, including maybe Edison and Alisson now within that. But even the World Cup, David De Gea, he made a few howlers, didn't he, for Spain at the World Cup? But it's undoubted top class, top quality, isn't he? And I just think with Cech, I think what I liked about Cech is, and I was at Goodison at the weekend, and something I've said about Jordan Pickford. Jordan Pickford, I think, makes every save look sensational, if you know what I mean with that. Petr Cech never made any save look sensational, but positional sense was great, like maybe pretty much like De Gea. And that's what I liked about him. I think it was always a calming influence over his side. If he made a save, he didn't get up and start ranting and raving as if to show, like, everybody else, you've got to stop. It was just calm.
Such a calm.
Do you know him as a bloke?
No, I don't know him at all. No, I played against him loads of times over the years. But no, just such a calming influence on that Chelsea.
And was that evident when he was on the pitch?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. He wasn't like
Peter Schmeichel or whatever. He wasn't roaring and kind of
bawling. I wouldn't be in favour of that. You know, you make a save and you get up. That is fair enough. It's whatever floats your boat, isn't it? Yeah, whatever works for you. But I always feel as though that you lose the run of yourself. And if you've got that erratic thing about you when you made a save and you want to start getting up and having a pop at people for making a save, you're doing your job, essentially. Mm-hmm. You know, if someone makes a clearance at one of the defenders or a goal scorer, of course, different with the goal scorer, say a defender makes a block, you don't necessarily see him flying around giving everyone else a bollocking, do you, because of that. But keepers, it's almost like he's expected to do it. And I just feel as though when keepers do that, I just feel as though they're always a little bit more susceptible to mistakes. Yeah, that's where I'm feeling it anyway. But I think Cech was always that calming influence, so anyway.
He shouldn't be remembered as, I suppose, the goalkeeper on the wane who was struggling with the ball at his feet in 2018, because that was very much the twilight of his career. And he was such an important part of that Chelsea team. I think there were most clean sheets of any goalkeeper ever at Chelsea.
Yeah, in around 05, 06, 07, Petr Cech was just absolutely superb. Yeah. I don't think there was anybody at the time to touch
him. He did have that unbelievable partnership in front of him, John Terry and Carvalho, didn't he? Those two were just incredible together as a partnership.
But even still, if they're team maintaining that title challenge with a Kulaschini behind them, I don't think it's the same chance.
Yes, that's a fair point. That's right, actually, yeah.
Martin O'Neill he's going back to Nottingham Forest, but I suppose he's going back to the future in a way.
Just the 38 years after he left.
Unbelievable. I suppose it was a bit of a running joke how much he spoke about Clough when it was obviously of less and less relevance.
Before you go on, are you aware that when he was at Forest the first time round, he actually won two European Cups under Brian Clough?
No, he didn't.
You're such a knob. What? What a knob.
Where'd you hear?
I remember reading it somewhere.
I don't know.
I think it was in like a program note somewhere before. But yeah.
Does he have to change his kind of Brian Clough recollections now for a different audience?
I'd sure hope so, for his own sake. Because if he starts pulling that stuff with a championship club.
But do you know what, though? It's always about nostalgia. If
there's a lot of nostalgia about disappointment.
I think you can reel a few of those out at Forest, and I think you definitely get away with that there.
I think Forest players have probably been hearing that from one corner or another.
The fans, though, isn't it, Rich?
I know, but I think it's the players that you're looking to motivate. The fans, I think, are going to be on side seeing Martin O'Neill come back, and possibly seeing Roy Keane come back. I think that's going to buoy them anyway. Mm. But it's the players, and it's like a group of players that have been in the championship for the last 10, 15 years at this stage.
It will be, yeah.
It's knocking on a long while since they've been a Premier League side. So for him to start banging out the notion that this was once a great European Cup winning team, I don't think it's going to hold much water with them. Mm. There's a long, long time has passed.
There's so many clubs in that position in the Championship, isn't there? You've got your Leeds, Sheffield Wednesdays, and all these sort of big, big clubs who we would maybe traditionally think as huge clubs, but modern fan now are not necessarily seeing even Leeds as that big club, are they, to an extent?
Because I've actually been thinking about this. There shouldn't be as much of a financial chasm between the First Division and the Second Division, namely the Premier League and the Championship, because it kind of encourages instability, and you just see Huddersfield probably just, they need this because it's going to be such a financial difference. Mm. And clubs are just now trying to rush to get to the top flight. But in terms of, if I'm a chairman and I want a long-term vision for a club, I'm not signing Martin O'Neill. And I would certainly be thinking very, very hard about signing Roy Keane with him if that's going to happen.
Forest haven't been a long-term team in the past 5-6 years. The number of coaches and managers they've actually gone through over the past while has just been insane. You're talking about big enough names have been through the doors at the City.
It's funny you talk about Clough, though, but since Clough left, was Clough 93? Did the first finish of the Premier League, wasn't it? 92, 93. How many managers have they had? I know they had Frank Clarke, a bit of stability with Frank Clarke.
He was there for quite some time.
Yeah, for a certain while.
And he did well.
He got them relegated. He took them up. I think he got them relegated, and I think he took them back again. But they had a good side. Stone, Van Hooijdonk, and all these players. Yeah, they were a really good side. But since he's gone, Clarke, they've had virtually no stability, really. You're talking 10 years plus that they've had manager after manager, year, 18 months at a time, max.
And your Aitor Karankas, your Sean O'Driscoll's, there's a hell of a lot of names who've gone.
Yeah, Paul Hart, I can probably go back for, it's amazing to see the way that it's gone.
Well, what have Forrest seen in what happened in Ireland to think this duo is a good duo to take over? It was an absolute calamity by the end.
They will have seen that he could get the best out of a limited enough squad and do okay with them. What they're looking to do is get into the playoffs now this year. They're only 4 points off. They're not in a nightmare position.
Well, unless you're a Forest fan and you're Irish, then I think, realistically, have they paid a lot of attention to watching us over the years? I don't think they would have.
They'd be better off if they didn't as well.
Well, that's the thing. They wouldn't have paid forensic details of what O'Neill and Keane have done with Ireland. They will have seen that Ireland got to the Euros and came down close to a couple of other tournaments under this managerial
team. Yeah, I think you're right.
And they'll look at that and think, broad strokes, do you know what? Maybe they could do something with this Forest squad. They clearly have the ability to get the best out of average players.
Yeah, because we have a bit of a recency bias in terms of O'Neill and Keane. They didn't actually do a particularly bad job at Ireland. They did have a limited bunch of players. They did okay in terms of the overall scheme of things. It's just that it ended badly. Mm-hmm. And we were playing football that was horrific to watch. And Forest are not going to be playing football as bad as that.
And I think that was part of the reason why Karanka was kind of gotten rid of as well. They weren't necessarily playing the most attractive style of football. It's not going to change under Martin O'Neill. I remember saying before when O'Neill
came in, it's going to change a bit, though. I think with Ireland, his prerogative was so basic. It was like, get us qualified at all costs. And he decided, we can't play football.
Give nothing away.
It's not the same week in, week out at club level.
Stop sides playing rather than actually going and beat
teams. You couldn't play like that at any level in England. The fans would hate it.
I'd be interested to see mentally how he's going to re-establish himself as a league manager. Because it's quite different to be in and out of an international side.
It's 5 years.
Once a month.
5 years,
and it's been 5 years since he's been at Sunderland. Like that, and that's a long time.
I mean, it was 5 years in the Island job. So how long did he leave Sunderland? How long?
It was just before. It wasn't long.
Before, right? So
compare him to Bielsa, for example. The difference in the coaches, like Bielsa's obviously not young, but just the difference in coaching is evolving all the time.
I don't know if you've seen anything in Norwich this season. Well, Daniel Farke has gone in, you know, similar sort of stature to Forest, you'd say, you know, obviously a bit of a yo-yo club in recent times, but they took a chance on Daniel Farke, and all of a sudden they're playing a really good brand of football, brilliant attacking football. Darren Moore's doing the same at West Brom now.
But essentially,
as well,
with Norwich, they've given him time. They've given him time to bed in. They gave him essentially a season, and didn't write off last season, but they gave him a season to bed in. And this year, it's starting to bear fruit, and you're looking at it, so they're probably going to go up. Whereas with O'Neill, I think if Forest don't make the playoffs, there's every chance that he's not going to be there to start next season.
That's the thing, and there's no actual talk yet, I think, about the length of the contract or necessarily of Keane. I wanted to talk Ali Regba with you briefly. I believe he's absolutely ripping it up at Leicester City.
Scored 2 goals for Leicester's under-23s last night.
Positive stuff.
Looks like he's going to get a permanent deal there. It was one of those players that came through Bohemians ranks in the last 18 months or so. No, it's been a fantastic, to be fair.
I'm not, I'm just any chance to get a ball.
He brought it up.
Mention, yeah, any chance, yeah.
I brought it up. I was actually speaking to one of the players last week. He was a little bit worried about, they haven't signed many players, but these youngsters are just like, if they may lose Regbe, but they obviously kind of partly cost Liam Buckley his job last season by winning 3-1. And it's great to see young players, Kev, coming through that. This will lead us on to our Brexit discussion later on, because there is a possibility that that sort of post-colonial, you know, Ireland-England influx might be a thing of the past. Niall Quinn spoke last week about needing to develop our own game, but Bowes would be probably the best example of that on a shoestring budget in the league.
I like watching them as well. Again, obviously Richie's highlighted a lot to me over Bowes over the last few seasons as well, and since living here as well, you're trying to get to League of Ireland games when you can, but outside, say, the ones with the bigger budgets, the sides with the bigger budgets in the league, Bowes have been outstanding watch, haven't they?
They are your local club now, aren't they?
They are my local club now, actually, yeah, but I still got to follow Pats, haven't I? Rich wouldn't be happy with that. I have to, don't I? You know what I mean?
You don't have to, Kev.
I'm fascinated by the dynamic next season, though, without turning the show into an entire League of Ireland show. For the rest of the 3 hours.
Where's Joe Malloy? Where's Joe Malloy when you need him?
He's sweating.
Stephen O'Donnell's moved to Dundalk as part of that coaching staff. I think this is really, really interesting, because both he and Rory Higgins have strong managerial aspirations down the line. Vinnie Pertz did not think he was getting this job, and all of his, Vinnie Pertz was at Stephen O'Donnell's wedding and they were all having the crack with the players, and the following day he was effectively the favourite for the manager's job because Kenny just basically was in for the job the following day after the wedding, and all of a sudden now Stephen O'Donnell has left the dressing room to join the coaching staff, and it's just going to be a very interesting dynamic. These are all very young guys, and you can tell one or at least two of them are going to be very good coaches down the line. But Stephen Kenny is gone.
I think that helps, though. I think that continuity is going to be okay, because Stephen O'Donnell would have been a figure in the dressing room that, as you mentioned, a lot of the younger players at Dundalk would have looked up to anyway. He would have been and he wouldn't have enjoyed this, been a peripheral figure to a degree last season with the nature of his injuries.
He did admit he was.
Yeah, but still would have had something of an influence in and around the dressing room.
Without a doubt.
So I think that transference of ideals is going to be not necessarily seamless, but it's going to work better than just parachuting somebody in from elsewhere. I think he's going to be a nice bridging point between the Kenny era and that of Vinnie Perth going forward.
And interesting, he's such an opinionated guy, or certainly he understands the game well, I think, and he's going to look at, he was obviously on this last week, he's going to look at the opposition and also suggest some signings, so it's going to be intriguing. But what is the news? Harry Kane?
Yeah, he's going to be out, it would seem, for the next 6 weeks. The Premier League's joint top scorer damaged ligaments in his left ankle during Sunday's 1-0 defeat to Manchester United at Wembley. Spurs say he'll continue to be monitored by their medical staff, but is not expected to return to training until early March. Kane scored 14 times in the top flight this season, but will now miss league games with the likes of Watford, Leicester and Chelsea. He could also miss a potential League Cup final appearance and at least one leg of their Champions League last 16 tie with Borussia Dortmund.
This means two things, arguably. Kane's absence means the Spurs are absolutely screwed in terms of winning the league. Obviously, Son Heung-min is out until possibly the end of the month. Are they going to actually finish top four, Kev?
Well, that's the one. The Dortmund game, as Richie's touched on there, is, I think that's the key one for them, Champions League. It is essentially that. It's a game changer, isn't it?
That's their season.
This is a game changer for them. We've said it so often over the years with Spurs that if they lose a Kane, if they lose an Ali or an Eriksen, whoever, one of those key players, then they would struggle. And invariably over the last few seasons, what they've done, they've played Son through the middle, haven't they? You say with Son out, who are they going to play? Can you trust Llorente? No, I wouldn't think you would.
Lucas Moura coming in?
Llorente, is he going to play as a number nine?
There's been an argument to play Dele Alli from a couple of people I saw this evening.
They got to sign someone, though, do they?
I don't think they're going to. They're not the kind of club that have that knee-jerk reaction to just sign somebody just because somebody's gotten injured. They just haven't operated.
Champions League is so important.
I mean, realistic as well, he's saying 6 weeks. Tottenham have got a little bit of history as well of saying an injury's a little bit longer than it actually is to heal. So you may be looking at that. If history repeats itself, then Kane could be back within a month. So key for him to get him back for the Dortmund game. I fancy him to beat Dortmund. I know Dortmund top of the Bundesliga, but I'd fancy Spurs to beat them. I
think over two legs.
Yeah, genuinely would fancy to beat them. But without Kane, I'd probably change my mindset on that one.
Two words, Troy Parrott.
There you go.
It's a little bit. He's 17 in next month, is it?
Well, he was injured for the weekend for the FA Cup game, wasn't he?
Only 16.
Third round, wasn't it? Third round, and that was a killer for him. But there was talk he was going to be involved.
He was going to be involved against Tranmere.
Yeah, in the Tranmere game, he was injured, and that's the killer, isn't it? That, you know, he's only 16, and you're hopeful that he's have time on his side. But
if he had played in that Tranmere game, they obviously won by a cricket score. He could have scored, you know, two himself. He's asking questions then of Mauricio Pochettino, and people are wondering. You know, people don't have that fear then if they see that he can do it.
It would be great, wouldn't it? And hopefully, who's to say he wouldn't get a chance? Get him on the bench for one of the games. You know, maybe not a Premier League match, but
They've got cup games coming up.
Yeah, they have got cup games. Well, not the League Cup final, maybe, but certainly one of those FA Cup matches, yeah.
Troy Parrott always reminds me of a Bowes fan I used to know in the bookies when I was in college, and he goes, "Did you hear about the snooker?" And I was going, no, John Parrott was playing last night. John Parrott was playing last night. John Parrott was, and he would just repeat this 10 times because he was a parrot.
Oh, God, it must be great crack, like, that fella.
I'm going to, if ever meet Troy Parrott.
Please don't tear him with the good name.
He was a Bowes fan.
Don't.
Yeah. Still is.
For that. Luke McGrath to miss Ireland's entire Six Nations campaign for the second consecutive year. The unlucky Leinster scrum half has been ruled out for up to 8 weeks after suffering a knee ligament injury during Saturday's Heineken Champions Cup win over Toulouse. A knee injury last year also saw McGrath miss Ireland's Grand Slam winning campaign. Meanwhile, his Leinster captain Jonathan Sexton will miss Sunday's Pool 1 trip to Wasps, a game he can hear live and off the ball. The head half is yet to fully recover from the knee tendon problem that he suffered in the Christmas loss to Munster at Thomond Park. Better news for the province: Sean O'Brien, Robbie Henshaw and Devon Toner will all return to full training this week. Rob Kearney and Dan Levy are facing further assessments on quad and calf injuries respectively, but Leinster scrum coach John Fogarty has allayed any fears that Sexton could miss the start of Ireland's Six Nations campaign. You're going to believe me. You're going to have to believe me. He did. Yeah. Former Republic of Ireland manager Martin O'Neill is back in club management. He's been confirmed as the new boss of Nottingham Forest, as we mentioned, a side with whom he won two European Cups.
Did you write the script, did you?
I did, yeah. O'Neill takes charge of Forest with the club ninth in the championship table, but just 4 points outside of the playoffs. There's no word yet on whether Roy Keane will be joining him at the City Ground. Bad news for Liverpool today. Their injury list continues to lengthen, with Trent Alexander-Arnold, the latest defender, retreating to the treatment room. The fullback will be out for up to 4 weeks after suffering a knee injury. He suffered the injury in the warm-up to Saturday's 1-0 win at Brighton, but went on to play the full 90 minutes of that game. With Joe Gomez still out injured and Nathaniel Clyne allowed to leave for Bournemouth on loan, it leaves 16-year-old Kijana Hoover as their only natural right-back, though it appears James Milner could be in that position come the visit of Crystal Palace to Anfield on Saturday. Jorginho Wijnaldum is a doubt for that game, though, ahead of Saturday.
This is an interesting one, Kev. That game is the old proverbial potential bananas game when you look at what they did to City as well.
Yeah, that's it, without a doubt. I find it amazing how they let Nathaniel Clyne go so early in the window. I understand you don't know what's around the corner, but Gomez is out anyway. Your natural replacement for Trent Alexander-Arnold. And also you've got James Milner that has been playing there, but he's a natural right-back. He did actually quite well at the weekend at Goodison Park, was at that game.
Why not just him being nice to the player and saying we're trying
maybe,
to develop
but why
you?
Not just delay it until the end of the window? You know full
There's
well
no
then.
Rush to ship him to
exactly. You know where your squad is. Just wait 2 or 3 weeks and wait to the end of the window. He's still going to be able. That move is still available to Bournemouth. Bournemouth, I know that they've got Simon Francis, the regular fullback, who's injured. But that I would have thought that move is still available to them to Bournemouth, and it just seems crazy why they let him go so early, given what's happened now here. Yeah.
Peter Cech.
Yeah, as we mentioned earlier, he is understood to have not been offered a coaching role by Arsenal at the club following his decision to retire at the end of the current season. The Czech goalkeeper says he feels he has achieved everything he has set out to achieve in the game. For during his 20-year career, he won 4 Premier League titles and a Champions League with Chelsea and was Czech Footballer of the Year on no less than 9 occasions. There are 3 FA Cup third round replays awaiting decision tonight. A trip to holders Chelsea is the card for Luton and Sheffield Wednesday, who play at Kenilworth Road. Newcastle travel to Championship side Blackburn with the winners at home to Watford, while the winners of Stoke's meeting with League One side Shrewsbury Town will be at home to Wolves in round 4.
Another kind of slightly sad aspect about the financial clout of the Premier League is that the FA Cup just matters so little, that, you know, when I was a kid, there was absolutely no chance either Newcastle or Blackburn arrest some players for a cup game. They obviously both are, and Benitez. It's just, I guess, because there's no Champions League place out of it. But it is sad, considering, obviously, when we were all kids, what the cup meant.
Yeah, I think, well, it is. I've spoken about this many times about it. Sometimes Newcastle are in a different position from certain clubs. If I'm looking at someone like maybe Leicester, mid-table, Everton to an extent.
Why are you resting players?
What's the point?
Yeah.
There's no need to. You just got to, because it's a great chance for you.
But you even have Championship sides who are maybe in contention for a playoff place. Like Blackburn have made 5 changes for Championship.
Yeah, I don't get that.
And they're probably going to get it. Jeez, they'll probably be rattling around inside Ewood Park tonight. I'm not going to. Yeah. Even with the visit of Brendan.
I mean, Tony Mowbray as well, the manager of Blackburn. What does it mean to him if he gets a scalp of a Premier League? It enhances his reputation, gives him, I know he's had Premier League jobs before and it hasn't quite worked out for him, but
it brings his name
he's
up again.
Up again, isn't he?
Yeah, it brings his name
profile,
up again.
Spot on, it does. I actually fancy Blackburn to win that. I do, looking at the sides, I think Blackburn win.
Mm. interesting enough. We'll keep an eye on all those three games tonight. The Cork ladies footballers will make history next month. They're to play a competitive game at Páirc Uí Chaoimh for the very first time when they take on Tipperary in Division 1 of the Lidl National Football League. The game on February 23rd will also be the first time the Cork ladies will play as part of a doubleheader, with the men's side for Cork are due to face Meath in Division 2 of the Allianz Football League that night. They'll repeat the trick on March 16th when they face Donegal at the same venue at midday, with Cork's men also facing Donegal at 2 that afternoon. Mayo, though, looks set to be without Killian O'Connor for their first three Allianz Football League Division 1 encounters. The Ballintubber forward underwent keyhole surgery in December to fix what he called some wear and tear behind his kneecap. Mayo opened their top flight campaign with the visit of Roscommon to Castlebar on Saturday week, before subsequent games with Tyrone and Cavan. It's hoped O'Connor could be fit for Mayo's meeting with Dublin at Croke Park. That is on February the 23rd.
Be fine for that.
You keeping your fingers crossed, Kev?
Yeah, definitely.
You could be getting it out in the way James Horan's out in players in the Connacht Football League so far this term. Former Cork boss Brian Cuthbert says managers had their chance to contribute to the new football rule changes. Cuthbert was part of the standing committee that drew up the new rules, which have been trialled in the pre-season competitions and will find their truest tests in the Allianz League. He told this morning's OTBAM that they wrote to every inter-county manager, but only 12 replied. And meanwhile, Connacht have confirmed the signing of prop Paddy McAllister from Gloucester. The loosehead began his career with Ulster before a spell with French side Aurillac. McAllister has made more than 50 appearances for Gloucester since joining the Premiership outfit in January of 2015. While Fulham have made an interesting signing this evening, former Liverpool striker Ryan Babel has pitched up at Craven Cottage on a permanent deal from Besiktas. The Netherlands internationals penned a deal until the end of the current season. Babel's been a player reborn, actually, at Besiktas, scoring 29 times in 89 league games for them and forcing his way back into the Netherlands squad in the process. Interesting signing.
Amazing, yeah. Amazing, isn't it? Blast from the past, isn't it, Ryan Babel?
Absolute blast from the past. And next Thursday, that is the 24th of January, we're going to be in the Sugar Club in Dublin to preview the Dublin Racing Festival, which is a new thing that they brought in Ireland. This is the second running of it. We're going to have an all-star lineup from the world of racing and beyond, including Niall Quinn, Nicky English, Davy Russell, Rachel Blackmore, Patrick Mullins, alongside Kevin Kilbane.
Well now.
Myself, Johnny Ward, Ger Gilroy and John Duggan, the three of us you'll be familiar with from our Friday night racing show. We'll be looking ahead to a massive weekend taking place at Leopardstown Racecourse on the 2nd and 3rd of January, when Tot Jocks and Trainers will be competing in 14 races, including 8 Grade 1s, for £1.8 million in prize money. So this is an exclusive off-air event, so the only way to enjoy it is to be there on the night, and even though it's sold out, we're giving you the chance to win a pair of VIP tickets. And you just need to answer this question. How many times has Davy Russell been Irish champion jockey? So text your name and answer to 53106 for 30 cents. We will announce the winner at the end of the show. And that's all thanks to the Dublin Racing Festival at Leopardstown Racecourse on Saturday the 2nd and Sunday the 3rd of January. And of course, get your tickets for the festival now at www.leopardstown.com. Thanks for that, guys.
Thank you, Johnny.
Well done, Johnny.
Well done.
Great job.
Great performance. Superb.
You're looking smart as well. Isn't he? Got to say that.
We're going to go to the ads, and we're going to have the live broadcast from Ball's Bridge.
No comeback.
Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.